A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy first weekend in November. It's December,
How
isn't
about
it?
December?
Let me flip my calendar. There we go. December.
Holy
Happy first weekend.
Cow.
I have way less shopping days before Christmas than I thought I did like 12 seconds ago.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are in that same boat. And all of a sudden, panic is setting in.
A lot of people think that it's November?
Well, no. A lot of people don't realize how few shopping days there are left until Christmas.
Fast. Everything moves fast.
It
especially
is.
The older you get. You're so young. You're a young whippersnapper.
Uh-huh. Why, thank
you. But eventually you'll be old and time will really fly.
Well, but I still have that same problem that everyone else does. The whole gift thing and the panic that sets in. And that is why today we are going to give the best gift to all of our listeners. We are going to help you with your Christmas shopping because we have our gift list.
Right. All the tools that we think are really perfect for DIYers.
Well, I'll give you a quick thing. I have one thing on my list that is not a tool, but it is way fun.
Okay. So really good stuff.
Yes.
You're going to want to tune in for that.
Absolutely.
We're also going to be talking about laundry rooms because everybody loves just spending really, really good quality time in the laundry room, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I hate it. My family hates it. Mm-hmm. My wife hates it.
Most people do.
Some of that is because the laundry room isn't set up the way that it could be.
Right.
There's a lot of different components to make this really work, and we're going to go through all of that coming up later.
Yeah, and you know, the heat is on full blast in most people's homes, but the thing is, people try to save money this time of year, especially with Christmas right around the corner, and so they close vents in their homes to try to, you know, save on the heating
right.
costs. The thing is, we've done a little digging.
That might not be the best idea.
Yeah, we're going to tell you everything that we've learned coming up in the next segment.
But first, we want to talk about some other tools, some paint tools.
Yes.
And these are things that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would call them second tier or third tier tools. You know, there's the main tools that you know about.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the next group of tools that you kind of know about.
Right.
And then there's this group that very few people are aware of, but they're very cool.
Yes.
And before we get into that, I'm very excited because I get to play a sound bite from a previous segment.
Yeah.
It never aired. It never made it on the air.
Right.
But we were talking with Jason Austin, the wall doctor.
Yep.
And he actually started talking about paint, which was very exciting.
Right.
And he said something that I thought was so smart.
Yes.
We're going to go to that and just let Jason explain.
There's three things in paint. There's your materials, there's your tools, and then there's your workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only control two of those things.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can control having good quality paint tools. I get the best paintbrush I can find. I get the best quality paint that I can afford. And then after that, I that compensates a lot for my workmanship. And that makes me a mediocre painter as opposed to a bad painter.
So that's what we want to talk about, the right tools, things that will help you get projects done the best way possible with the best results possible.
Right. So the first thing we want to tell everyone about, because a lot of people don't know this, is you can actually purchase empty containers, you know, gallon cans, quart cans, 5-gallon bucket if you really need it, smaller containers. And these are perfect if you have some leftover paint. A lot of people tend to make the mistake of leaving the paint, you know, the gallon is only half full maybe.
Right.
And
throw it on the shelf.
Right. They leave it there. The problem is all of that air will actually make your paint go bad
right,
by sitting
Right, open
there.
It up and it's all crusty inside.
Yes, or it'll stink really bad.
Oh, it can go bad, but you can also just dry over. You get that skin on top. You can avoid that and keep that paint usable by pouring it into a container that you can fill to minimize the amount of air in the container.
Right.
So get a smaller container.
Yep.
We have quarts, we have pints, all of those different things.
Mm-hmm.
We also have 5-gallon buckets, like you mentioned. And there's something really cool you can do with that if you're looking for a cheap Christmas gift.
Yeah, I love 5-gallon buckets and the little...
She's got a collection at home. It's
yes.
Pretty dumb, actually.
You can get a 5-gallon bucket organizer that sits in the bucket and has pouches and little pockets and things like that to hold all of your tools. Now, it's good for regular tools in place of maybe a toolbox, but it's also great for your painting tools. You can put your paintbrushes and your roller handles and extra covers and things all in this one area.
They're really cool. If you're looking for a good gift for a DIYer, And I know we're going to cover more of those later. Yeah, it's very inexpensive. It's a really, really, really great way to go.
Yep.
Now, another tool that a lot of people aren't aware of that we stock and carry, strainers.
Yeah.
Now, your paint goes bad. You've got all these clumps in it, or you open up the lid and there's rust around the rim, and then that all falls into the paint.
Yeah, that's
really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
There are strainers. Now, people seem to be aware of these things called cone strainers, which we've got. It looks like
paper
a
and then
paper
just has
funnel,
mesh at the
basically.
Bottom. Yep.
A little bit of mesh. Don't even bother with those.
Nope.
We've got something way better, and it's, what, maybe 50 cents more? A dollar more?
Yeah,
dollar more.
That.
Let's just say that. But it's a bag strainer.
Yeah.
So rather than just a little bit of mesh at the bottom of a cone, it's a bag. There's a gallon size. There's a 5 gallon size.
Yep.
A bag that fits into an empty gallon can.
Mm-hmm.
That's all mesh.
Right.
You pour the paint into that. You get some little latex gloves, those little cheap throwaway gloves. You pour the paint into this mesh bag. You grab the edges of it, pull it up, and then just kind of squeegee it out with your hand with those gloves on. You leave all the junk in the little bag and all the good paint straight into your bucket.
Well, and it's great because it has, well, they call it a garter top. It's just an elastic band that fits over the can so that the whole thing doesn't fall into the can while you're trying to strain the paint.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. They are one of my favorite things, I have to tell you.
It's such a dumb thing, really, when you think about it. Why I would be excited about that. But it is fun because I've had a number of times where it's very sad when you open up the lid and all that rust or whatever falls in because I didn't store the can the right way. This is a great way to save that.
Right.
Now, if you can't save it, even with a cool strainer, something to be aware of, it's not really a tool, it's just some knowledge to have, is that we make recycled paint. Repcolite does.
Yep.
So we've got this full line, Recoat recycled paint, real high-end recycled paint. They've got 16 designer colors, right, Betsy?
Yeah, 16 or 17, I think.
Yeah, colors that work really well together no matter what ones you pick.
Right.
But the thing that we're talking about right now is that if you've got paint at home that you don't want anymore, or you can't get clean even with a strainer, or you don't want to bother, you can recycle it. You can bring it to us. It's $2 a container.
Yep.
It's got to come in its original container, but it doesn't matter the size, if it's a 5 gallon bucket or a quart, $2 a container. If it's usable and it's latex, bring it in, we'll recycle it and turn it into that Recoat paint. But it's a great way to clean off your shelves if you don't know what to do with it.
It is. Now, one more quick thing that we absolutely love, and we've talked about it before, is a pour spout. And I cannot recommend this thing enough. I think it's a dollar or less for these pour spouts.
Little plastic thing that flips on the rim of the gallon or the quart.
Oh, my goodness. It saves so much mess everywhere when you tip that can over and then it all runs down the side.
Or it gets into the well where the rim.
And then
you
try to put the lid back in.
And then it sprays over.
Yeah.
I did that once. And there was a painter who was standing at the counter with his back to me, and I sprayed magenta paint all into his hair. That was a long time ago. And
you would like to apologize to that painter.
I was going to tell him, and then he left. He was talking to somebody else and walked out the door. There he goes with all this paint in his hair.
That is terrible.
If I'd have used a pour spout, I'd have been good to go.
Yes. Now, one last thing. Now, this is the cleanup part of the tools. Hand cleaners. Most people stand at the sink and use soap and, you know, their fingernails, and they scrub and they scrub and they scrub and they scrub, and you end up tearing your skin off. We have some fantastic hand cleaners that will make getting your hands clean from all that paint and stain and things like that an absolute breeze.
Yeah, they're really nice to work with. There's one that's in a tub that's more inexpensive.
Yeah.
It's just a smooth, you know, what would you describe it as?
It's almost
a jellied consistency.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And that works for automotive work. You know, anything that you do like that, it'll cut through grease and all of that. We've got another one that has like a pumice or a little bit of a grit to it.
Yeah, I think it's called Cupran or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that,
a little more expensive.
Cleaner.
It works better.
Yeah, I
but
really
something
like
that's
that
really
one.
Fun. That if you're rinsing your hands outside, for example, you could use the cheaper one, the jellied one, and mix sand, like clean sand
in. Yeah, we've done that
before. Gives you that grit so you can clean your hands. I've mixed sugar in.
Yep.
If you're rinsing it down the drain, you know, sprinkle sugar in. That works because it gives it that grit.
Right.
Epsom salts.
Yep.
A number of different things would work to probably give it that grit that helps
that
you scrub it through
off.
Cleaner, quicker.
Yeah, all of these tools are fantastic things, and we cannot recommend them enough. They're just ones that people don't necessarily always know about.
Right. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about whether it's a good idea or not to close those vents in unused rooms. Is that going to save you money, or is it going to cause something really bad to happen? Find out when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home.
This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. Betsy, are you ready to talk about a very interesting phone call you had with your dad this week?
Yeah, he called.
You saved him. You're like a superhero.
Well, he called. My dad is not necessarily super mechanically inclined.
Okay, now, I don't know that he listens, but I would like you to really, really let people know the facts here. When he started at his home,
yes,
you were telling me a great story, because we all start somewhere. I was just as dumb and naive when I first had my home.
Well, he had to call out whoever, the electric company or somebody, because his furnace was making funny noises and it kept coming on and off, and he couldn't figure out why. The guy comes out and he goes, you have to change your furnace filter.
Oh, from time to time? That has to be done?
Well, he was not aware of that. I'm guessing that was when he was first married, first house. And
Man, the things that I've done when I was first starting, holy cow. I still do
everybody's somewhere.
Yeah, we all
do.
I still am there.
Right.
But now he had an interesting question that isn't a very dumb question. It's a good question. A lot of people debate this back and forth.
Yeah, he was wondering, you know, none of us kids are at home anymore, and I guess
it's a big house, a lot. Like, how many bedrooms?
Well, it's only three bedrooms, but the living room and the common areas are huge areas. So he was going to close off all of the vents in the bedrooms that aren't used and close a vent in his bedroom because he said it gets boiling hot in there because I guess it's right by the furnace. So he said, I'm just going to close these vents. And I said, I don't know that you want to do that.
Right. We dug into it a little bit because we thought that's a really good question. Mm-hmm. Does that save us money?
Right.
Because a lot of people wonder if I shut the vents off. And we do the same thing in the summer.
Yes.
The same concept comes up.
For
I don't use these rooms.
Yeah.
Maybe I can shut the doors. Maybe I can shut the vents down in the room and save money.
Right.
I'm not going to heat or cool that space since we don't use it.
You close the doors and you're all set.
Is it a good idea? Well, we have connections now, because
yes,
as much fun as I made of him at the beginning about that furnace filter thing, I do all the dumb stuff, too.
Yeah.
I just don't know. We don't know.
Right.
So we thought, let's find out, because we do have connections now.
Right.
So we contacted Brad Krause from Service Professor, who's been on the show a whole bunch of times, and asked him, is this a good idea? And Brad immediately shot back, no. Not a good idea at all.
Right.
And then he copied Ken Summers of the Comfort Institute.
Yep.
Now, Brad described Ken as the best HVAC expert that he knows.
Yeah, the Comfort Institute actually deals exclusively with HVAC systems and things like that. They teach a lot of HVAC people, you know, what to look for in homes and things like that. So
Ken got back to Brad and us with all of his answers. And then we also did a little research on our own.
Yep.
Now, we'll link to all of the articles that we ran across and that we used in the show notes. But for now, the short answer to closing the vents is don't do it.
Yes.
Don't close off the vents. You're not going to save any money. And you could actually do some damage to your system if everything, you know, was just perfect or the opposite of that.
Right.
You know, if everything lines up just right, you could do a lot of damage and it could create a very dangerous situation.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what we learned. A couple of things. And in fact, this was one of my favorites because it was a lot of fun, even though it had a really bad outcome. So here's an example just to get us understanding how a system works, how this heating and cooling system works. Imagine yourself, Betsy.
Yes.
Walking at a brisk pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I picture myself going to see a movie that I want to see.
Okay.
I always walk at a very brisk pace because I want to get the seat that
you
I want.
You always walk at a brisk pace anyway.
I do. My time is short. I want to get where I want to go.
Yes.
Anyway, you're walking at a brisk pace. And you're breathing in through your mouth and out through your nose.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how our heating
body
and cooling
works.
System works as well.
Mm-hmm.
We pull in air through return vents and it blows air out through all the little supply vents in the home. Now, as you're walking, close one nostril and see what happens. I did that here, folks, and it was problematic. I didn't anticipate some of the things that might happen.
Yes.
It was a little embarrassing.
It was a little disgusting as well.
It was such a dumb decision, but it really made the point. Breathing gets more labored.
Mm-hmm.
You can deprive yourself of oxygen.
Yeah.
Or you just really struggle.
Right.
All right. That gets to the point of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to some extent to our systems in our home when we start closing off vents, especially the more we close off.
Right. The blower in your HVAC system is the heart of distributing all of that air throughout your home and then obviously taking it in. Now, high efficiency systems have blowers that are powered by ECM motors. It's a variable speed motor.
Right.
And the high pressure causes the motor to run faster and really ramp up production.
If you close those vents down, that creates this buildup of pressure. That's what Betsy's talking about.
Right.
That motor will still kick out what it's supposed to. But the problem is it works much harder to do that. So, you know, you probably get about the same airflow. That's a maybe.
Right.
But it works really hard to do that.
And now you're spending way more money to make that motor run faster.
You think you're saving money, but you're actually spending more.
Right.
Now, the majority of blowers are powered by PSC motors, which all that means is they're not variable speed. Mm-hmm. They keep spinning at a given speed. But the problem is when the pressure builds up in the system, because the vents are closed, that pressure causes it to spin at lower and lower speeds. So obviously, you get less airflow.
Right.
And, you know, that can lead to all sorts of problems.
Right. Now, that's kind of like having, like my dad had, that furnace filter that was clogged. It's the same type of thing. The motor just can't spin like it's supposed to be spinning.
Well, and a number of things happen. The air is important in a cooling system, or when, with your air conditioner. It's important that air goes over the evaporator coils and prevents that from icing over. You know, and in your furnace, the heat exchanger, if enough air isn't moving through there, that can cause problems where even that potentially could crack. We talked about that when we had Brad Krause here talking about furnace filters and the importance of changing those. And all of it was built around exactly what Betsy said, airflow. If the furnace filter is clogged and it prevents the proper airflow, problems can occur. Well, the same thing happens when you close off vents. It reduces the airflow in a PSC motor and can cause all these problems.
Right.
So some of the problems that you could get in a PSC motor would be increased duct leakage. Now, the average home loses 20 to 30% of the air blowing through it thanks to air duct leaks, according to Energy Star.
Yes.
Closing vents is only going to make that problem worse. The lower airflow with a PSC motor also could lead to, as we mentioned, a frozen air conditioner coil in the summer, if you're doing this with your air conditioner.
Right.
It could lead to a dead compressor, which is really bad.
Yes, it is.
In the winter, it could lead to condensation and mold growth in those rooms where you shut the vents off because they're just not warm enough to dry out those areas. Condensation forms because of the cold on those outside walls.
Well,
and
there's
dry
no air movement in there to help dry the walls so that that doesn't happen. I lived in a house where that happened. You pulled the furniture away from the walls and it was black with mold. It was so disgusting because of that exact thing. The heat vent was closed.
See, you saved money and you created a filth pot to
live
in.
Oh, yes. It
you
was
can
disgusting.
End up with comfort issues because the airflow is not what you want, even in the rooms that you are trying to heat. And here's the big one. Just as we talked about with furnace filters, if everything aligns just right, it possibly could even lead to a cracked heat exchanger, which is a really big deal. Brad mentioned that sometimes they come out and they find that, and they generally have to condemn that furnace because now carbon monoxide could leak out of that.
Right.
It could be a really big deal.
Right.
So either way, whether you've got a high-efficiency motor, you're going to pay more money, and if you've got a PSC motor, you're going to end up causing all of these potential problems to deal with.
Right.
Now, it's possible that you might be fine closing a few vents or, you know, in your home.
Right.
We're
just
not
a couple
saying
of them.
That.
Yep.
But the thing is, it really depends on how restrictive and leaky the duct system in your home is.
Right. If it's a well-designed system with a lower static pressure and the ducts are all sealed like they should be, you shouldn't have a problem as long as you don't close too many.
But in our opinion, it's just not worth it. And if you're thinking about it, just call an expert. That's what they're out here for.
Yep.
Any heating and cooling company, service professor would be a great one to check in with. Just make sure before you do it.
Right. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to take the dread out of doing laundry because we're going to help you spruce up your laundry
room.
Some
of the dread.
Some of the dread. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, here we go, Betsy. You've made some huge promises at the end of the last segment. You announced how you were going to make laundry absolutely amazing and pleasant to do.
No, I just said
don't backpedal.
Going to make it better.
I'm
the
one.
Fix the laundry part.
Right. Yeah.
We can't do your laundry. We can't make the laundry just magically go away.
You don't want me to do your laundry. I am wearing pink underwear because I've done laundry. It's not good.
That is terrible.
I just don't know what to do.
Well, maybe we'll have
My
to
wife
do
says
a
it's learned
some...
helplessness.
Well, that could be.
Well, I just,
yes.
I screw everything up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many times I've done laundry, because I do. I try. Yeah. I really try. And my wife or one of the kids has come in and said, have you seen this shirt or this top? They always have words for female clothes. What do they call it? Blouses and things like that.
Yeah.
And anyway, I referred to one of my shirts as a blouse once. They all thought I was a dope.
Yep.
And I learned those terms are not, you can't use them all.
No.
Anyway, they'll ask me, where is this shirt?
Mm-hmm.
And I get this like sweaty palms kind of thing because I realize I just threw it in the washer and they see that on my face. You didn't just put it in the washer or you didn't just throw it in the dryer, did you?
Oh, yeah.
And then they pull it out and it's like you could put maybe a baby into it now or it's all kinds of terrible colors.
Yep.
Laundry, I struggle with. And that's just doing it. And then when you go and look at the rooms that you actually do laundry in, none of ours have been terribly wonderful to be in.
Well, the problem is, especially in a basement, you dread doing laundry. At least I always have. My laundry has always been in the basement, and it's just dirty, and it's dark, and it's just not a place I want to be.
It's not a fun job, and if the place that you do it in is an equally bad place, put two and two together. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see how it plays out.
Yes.
Making the space better isn't going to necessarily make laundry fun.
No.
But it's going to make it work better. Just like a tool room.
Mm-hmm.
If the tools are organized and put away and in such a way that you can get at them and access them and find them when you need them, working on projects isn't so bad.
Yeah.
When it looks like mine sometimes looks, and you got to dig through the pile on the workbench to find a screwdriver, projects become frustrating.
Right.
So let's help get your laundry room up to speed, no matter where it is, upstairs or in a basement.
Yeah, that's why today we've got five key concepts that...
Brilliant concepts.
Yes.
It could be like from Dan's Emporium of Audio Emporium of Brilliance. Oh, man.
Wow.
Every time I talk about being brilliant, I then...
You screw it up.
I do.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. It's like this self-fulfilling or... Not even that. I'll just shut up.
Uh-huh.
Go for it. Five concepts. Important
So there are
ones.
Five concepts, and you can really use them anywhere in your home, but today we're going to put them to use in your laundry room. The thing to remember before we even get to those is that you need to have a plan of attack. So you need to take those five concepts and figure out kind of what you want to do with them, and then take it in baby steps, just little tiny steps
just
to
like
get there.
Any project that we talk about here, every time we talk to somebody who does these kinds of projects, or any kind of project, it's all about breaking it up into smaller pieces.
Right.
That's what
manageable
we're talking about
chunks.
Here.
Yep.
We don't mean take all of today and accomplish everything.
Right.
Accomplish some of this today.
Right.
And the first concept is cleanliness.
Yes.
It's a concept I'm very familiar with. I'm an extremely clean person. Don't you think? I spill a lot of salsa, but I have I have my wife launder my blouses when I spill on them.
Yeah.
Tell us about cleanliness, Betsy.
Well, cleanliness is something that you want to do at the very beginning of your project. You want to make sure that you're pulling out the washer and dryer. You're doing a really good deep clean on
this is
everything.
Spring cleaning, no matter the season.
Yes.
Really go to town.
Clean
here.
In and around these items as long as they're pulled out. You know, dryers, we talk about cleaning out the dryer vents in the back of the dryer. Do that as long as you've got it pulled out.
Right. Check the hoses, the supply lines for the washer. Those should be replaced every 5 years.
Yes.
For sure. Because they can break and that can be a horrible problem.
Right.
So now's a perfect time to get those replaced while it's out.
Right.
Vacuum around everything, wipe out shelves, really go to town, get the room deep down clean.
Now remember that part of deep cleaning is decluttering. So throw out all of those empty bottles that may be taking up space on your shelf. Get rid of all the things that you've pulled out of pockets and things like that that went through the dryer.
All the unnecessary stuff that ends up there.
Yeah.
Just all the tools
throw it
that
all
I've
away.
Left in my pocket.
It happens.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there. So once you've got all of that cleaning done and all the decluttering done,
it's the next concept.
It's the next concept. Take a look at storage and organization. Now, figure out, do you have open shelves now that you've got everything cleaned up?
What are your resources? What do you have available to you now? And what are your needs? You should be able to see both of those things relatively clearly at this point.
Right. And make sure you have room for things like empty laundry baskets. You know, we always think of them when they're full, but What happens when they're empty and the laundry's done? Do you have a space for those? Just make sure that everything's going to have a home.
And there are all kinds of creative options to pull this off, no matter where you're at. You know, if you want to open up some floor space and get rid of a drying rack, we saw like bathrooms or laundry rooms where they hung like an ladder.
An old ladder, yeah.
Right, and they could hang clothes on those. It looks cool when you're not using it. If you've got open shelving, you know, don't just throw stuff on there. Use baskets and bins. It keeps it more organized. It keeps it tighter.
Well, and you don't have to necessarily look at all those ugly things up there.
Right. If you've got a basement laundry room, those really are things nobody seems to want.
Yes.
And I get that. Mm-hmm. A lot of inconvenience with them. But here's a point where those things are brilliant. Because most of the time in a basement laundry, you've got a lot of space at your disposal.
Right.
You can really create a lot of different things. Shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be built out of 2x4s. They can be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't paint them, even if all you do is put a couple of coats of polyurethane on them just so that they wipe down, it's going to be so fast to get that up and running. You could create folding stations, all kinds of stuff like that in a basement laundry room. So if that's your situation, don't figure you're completely out of luck. There's a lot of stuff you can do with that space.
Right. And once you have this system in place, make sure that everyone in your home knows the system so they know where everything goes and how you want things to flow. It'll make life a whole lot easier when you go to do laundry.
The third key concept is lighting. Not going to say too much about it, but lighting is critical.
Especially if you have a laundry in your basement.
Right. A lot
of
times
you have a single bulb.
Yeah, we've got the little single incandescent bulb that we unscrew when we want it off and screw in when we want it on.
Uh-huh.
Get some shop lights, fluorescent lights, hang them up. They can be easily installed and it will dramatically change the space.
Right. Now, the next thing to think about is color. Now, a lot of people sit there and say, but it's just a laundry room. You will not believe what a little bit of color that energizes you can do when you actually have to do laundry. I designed a laundry room for someone who had a basement laundry, and the green that we picked, I tell you what, everybody who went in there loved the green. It was just refreshing. And the person found they actually liked going down there because it was such a great room.
Color really sets the tone. We talk about it all the time. Nothing can do more to influence how you feel about a space than color.
Right.
So find something really energized, something vibrant. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be crazy, you know, jumping off the wall bold with color, but you can push it a little bit
a little bit.
The laundry room. It's going to help. And if you've got a basement laundry room, I mean, do whatever you've got to do. If you've got cement block walls, there are easy ways to get those things painted.
Yep.
You know, if you've got efflorescence on the walls, which is like a white powdery stuff, and sometimes people see that and think, oh my goodness, it's gross and I have no idea how to fix it. A, it's not gross when you realize what it is, and there's ways to fix it. We've got products at RepcoLite and Port City Paints that will help you get whatever situation you've got down there.
Absolutely.
To the point where it's really paintable. A semi-gloss on those walls. I know we normally wouldn't put semi-gloss on a lot of different walls, but in a basement on block walls, it's going to keep them really clean. Painting the floor. There's all kinds of different options. Once you do that, that space really starts to be transformed.
Yeah, it just feels a whole lot more clean and it becomes a space that you really don't dread going in quite as much.
And that's the whole point.
Right.
The last one, decorating. Where were you going with that?
Well, a lot of people think that, oh, it's just a laundry room, but if you think of it more as a room in your home and, you know, maybe put a plant in there or put, you know, a little tiny light with a shade in there, decorate it like you do any other room. I mean, we decorate our bathrooms. Why aren't we decorating our laundry rooms?
A lot of bad stuff goes down in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of bad stuff goes down in the laundry room.
Might as well decorate that laundry room.
Right. It just makes it feel like it really is a part of your home.
The big thing here, no matter what your situation, get started. And again, back to those basement laundry rooms. Paint really can make a huge improvement. I know ours dramatically improved when we put some new paint on the walls, got things ready to go. And I know sometimes you look at that and you think, I don't know how to get the floor painted. I don't know how to fix these issues with the walls.
Right.
We've got products at RepcoLite. We've got people who've seen all these issues before. We'll help you figure out what you need to do.
Absolutely. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to bust out our Christmas list. And trust me, this is something you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned.
Want to take your DIY skills up a rung? The RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, I have looked forward to this segment all day long.
Yes,
this
so
is
have
fun.
I.
Last year we did this where we talked about our favorite tools, things that we recommended.
Yeah.
You know, different price points. We're not doing the price points thing this year.
No.
But these are things that I really got a lot of use out of this year, and I think they're brilliant to give to anybody who's a DIYer.
Okay.
We're going to put links to all of these in the show notes.
Yes,
we've got links to where you can buy them. You can buy them locally. That's great. We're going to put Amazon links just so you can check them out, read reviews.
Absolutely.
Why don't you start, Betsy? What is your first recommendation for a great Christmas gift?
My first recommendation is actually if you are looking for something for ladies or kids, but it can be for guys, especially if you use
a blouse?
A tool bag. No, it's not a blouse. It's what they call a handbag light. It's under $30.
A handbag
light. It's a little thing that is motion activated. So when it's in your purse or a kid's backpack.
Or what is the man equivalent to a purse?
A tool bag.
Because oh, okay.
I have a tool bag instead of a toolbox, and sometimes it's hard to see because it's black. It's hard to see what's inside. So this light, when you open it up, the light comes on, and then when it doesn't sense any movement anymore,
really?
It turns off. Yeah.
That's pretty slick. So I can
know.
Put that in my European carry all, my toolbox.
Yes.
I mean, my fanny pack? I bet it would work in my fanny pack.
It will work in your fanny pack, yes.
How much is it?
It's under $30. It's like $29.95 or something
like
that.
Is it reviewed well? Do people like it?
It was reviewed well. Yep. People who have them love them. And again, you know, for all those bags that you have that you just can't see in the bottom of, this is a great little thing.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, mine is less exciting, and it's something that's been around for ages.
Okay.
Not everybody has them or has one of them, but a shop vac.
Yes.
All right. I think you will use this for everything. From cleaning out dryer vents, I use mine for that.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a wet, dry shop vac, you can suck up water. I have sucked up water out of my basement when I didn't have a sump pump to run it to or any kind of pump to get it out.
Right.
Use it for that. Use it for cleanup when you're, you know, doing all kinds of work in the shop, a wood shop or anything like that.
Right.
So many uses. We've got one that we found that's about $50, really well reviewed. If you want to splurge a little bit, just over $100, there's a rigid 14-gallon wet, dry vac, and it comes with an auto detailing kit.
Ooh,
which I think is really
even
cool.
Better.
Yeah, so check out the website for that. I think it's a great gift. It doesn't have the flash of the little light in the European carryall, but so practical.
Yes, yes it is.
Well, I just spit everywhere when I said
yes,
practical.
I saw that.
If I had my wet dry shop back, I could clean that right off.
Oh, that would be lovely. Now wait, I have a very practical
gift as
well. Let
me just wipe that off of your hand a minute. There you go.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That is gross.
This one is actually for all of those people who like to have fires, especially this time of the year. And
in the fireplace.
Yes.
Not
yes,
arsonists.
Preferably, you know.
Because they like to have fires.
Yeah.
But you're talking legit fires.
I am talking legit fires. Now, kindling can kind of sometimes be a little bit hard to find. You have a little bit larger pieces, but maybe not those really tiny pieces to get things going. So I found this thing. It's called Jack Jr. Firewood Kindling Tool. Basically, it's an axe blade that stands upright on a base. And you put a piece of wood on it, and you take your mallet or whatever, and you hit the piece of wood, and it splits into all these little pieces. Because you can't take a piece of regular wood and then take the axe to it over and over again.
Well, you can, but you're not going to have all your fingers when you're done.
Right. So this is a great way to do it. You can.
What's it called?
It's called a Jack Jr. Firewood Kindling Tool. I actually found a video of how it works.
Do like, dudes get these? I would feel a little silly getting a Jack Jr.
No.
Does
wait,
it come
wait,
with a little,
wait, wait.
Like a badge?
Wait, I think the audio is off on this. So you can quickly see. I'll put the.
Betsy's showing me a video that
I'll
she'll
put
share
the link.
With you. Oh, there is a dude using it.
Yeah, and see, you just set it on the ground. And
that man should be more careful. But yes, I see what you're saying.
See how it just splits off
very
little
cool.
pieces.
Oh, it's definitely much more solid and.
Yeah, and it has holes so you can bolt
thinking.
It to another log or
yeah,
something so
like
that it doesn't move around.
That's very cool.
Yeah, about $50 for that
okay.
thing.
Okay, definitely check out the video because the name sounds silly.
It does.
But the tool looks definitely much more solid
well,
than I was
anticipating.
Well, and
it's great for if you're trying to start a fire.
I don't think it comes with a badge.
No, I'm sure it
but
doesn't.
But still, pretty cool.
Yes.
My second tool is, again, I splurge because I like to. I was going to say I like to buy expensive gifts for people. I prefer to get expensive gifts.
Well, yes.
I like to give very well thought out, you know, gifts to people that are very inexpensive.
Okay.
but very thoughtful.
Right.
But I like to get expensive stuff.
Right, of course.
All right, one of them, I think this is just, you've got to have it. If you're a DIYer, this isn't a luxury item. This isn't something that maybe you hope someday you could get.
Okay.
You need to get one.
Yes.
And it's an air compressor with a brad nailer and a finish nailer as a combo kit.
Yes.
All right. Now, there's a lot of debate out there, brad nailers, finish nailers, which one is the right one. I don't have time to go into that.
Right.
Very quickly, a brad nailer drives these narrow gauge wire brads. So it's perfect for lightweight trim, small jobs, little projects.
Yes. Yep.
You don't want to hang regular trim with a brad nailer.
Right.
A finish nailer is more suited towards that, towards crown molding, trim, bigger projects.
Mm-hmm.
A brad nailer puts tiny little holes, so there's very little filling with putties or anything. A finish nailer is going to do more. You're going to have more finish work to do.
Right.
It's hard to decide which one's the right one. Go with a combo kit that has both.
Yeah.
I found one. You get a finish nailer. You get a brad nailer. You get a 6-gallon pancake air compressor.
Yep.
So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with a stapler. So you've got all of these things.
Love
it's $199.
That's not bad.
It can be a little expensive, but a brad nailer combo kit without the finish nailer that we found is $159. So $40 more, you get this big kit.
Yeah.
If you really want to splurge on that DIYer in your life, here you go. This is perfect. And then get the little add-ons because you've got an air compressor.
Right. Now you can do all kinds of things.
Right. There's tire gauges, things that you can do. I got a tire that's constantly going flat. I can't figure out what's going on. But with this, I could constantly fill it up.
Right. Okay. Now, my last thing is absolutely a luxury gift. And it's not really a home improvement gift. It's just something so unique and cool that I found out there. It's called an Oru kayak. O-R-U kayak. The thing about this is it's an origami kayak. So it folds up flat. You know, usually kayaks
are... It folds up flat. And you can actually use it?
You can actually use it.
Is it a toy?
No. It's 12 feet long when you unfold it and put it together. And
how is it reviewed?
It's reviewed very well. People love these things because it's lightweight. It folds up to a very small size, so it's portable. You know, they say about a briefcase size, roughly. I'll post the videos online again. It is so cool, especially for someone like me who has a hard time carrying a kayak. It's great.
So we've given you some tools. Betsy's given you a fun thing.
Yes,
that's
which
cool.
Is relatively expensive.
How much was it?
About $1,000.
Okay, so it's a splurge.
It's absolutely a splurge.
All right, my last present recommendation is a gift to everybody, Betsy.
Okay.
Well, everybody can try to enter. One person's going to win.
Okay.
But on December 22, Repco Light and Benjamin Moore are giving away everything that you need to create a world-class family room in your home. So what that means.
Yes.
$250 worth of paint and supplies to make the room look great.
Right.
We're also giving away $500 worth of games from Out of the Box Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving away a pass for 6 people to one of their escape rooms.
Yeah. It's a huge prize. It's the perfect Christmas gift for you or for someone who is enormously lucky.
Enormously
who's on your
lucky.
List this year.
Right. Entering the contest is very simple. So listen up. Here's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have chances to win up until December 22.
Yes.
That's a Saturday. And that's the day we'll announce the winner.
Right.
So up until then, you can enter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You go to Repco Light's Facebook page. You find the contest post, which we'll pin to the top of the page.
Yep.
And there are a number of simple ways to enter. But then there's something really cool for radio listeners.
Yes. Each week, we're going to give you a Benjamin Moore Christmas-themed color name. And that's going to be the code word for the week. Now, you can go to the contest page and you can enter that code word. And it's actually going to give you 5 extra chances to win.
Right. You just got to pay attention.
Yep.
Enter the code word in the proper week.
Yep.
If you get it right, you'll have 5 extra chances to win. Now, the code word for today.
Yes.
The word to enter on the December 1 slot is Heavenly Peace.
Yes. Now, this color is really actually a great color. It's a beautiful dusty blue. And let me tell you, it would be perfect for your laundry room.
And it's your ticket to getting 5 extra entries into our contest. Again, Heavenly Peace is the phrase.
Yep.
So go to our Facebook page, enter it in the slot for December 1, and tune in next week for the next code word.
Right.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you be the absolute champion of Christmas gifts this year and for all years to come. All you need to do is keep listening.
Wow, was that a promise?
It is. Thanks for listening.